questions.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. I have a few announcements for you. If you haven't heard, Beverly Ruby passed away yesterday. There will be a celebration of her life here at Glenshaw Valley, but we're not sure when yet. The family needs some time to make arrangements, and there are folks who loved her as much as we do from all over the country, so they want to make sure that everyone who wants to attend can. So I will keep you informed. There will be a session meeting following worship, and on Wednesday, there will be ashes to go at Glenshaw Presbyterian Church, not Glenshaw Valley, at Glenshaw Presbyterian Church from 12 to 1 and 5 to 6, and I will be there. And then we will have worship at 7, and So if, because Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day, if your romantic plans get in the way of being reminded that you're going to die, you can be reminded that you're going to die from 12 to 1 or 5 to 6 at the Glenshaw parking lot. A stewardship update. I just wanted to let you know we got 20 pledge cards returned, which is phenomenal. You guys did a great job. And the pledges were for an estimated $61,800 for the year. That is going to help us serve the Lord like amazingly well. You're awesome. So thank you for hearing the call and listening and stewarding your gifts well. Any other announcements? Is there anything I'm missing? I'm sorry?
Arlie's sister.
Yes. Also, if you did not see Arlie's sister, Lori passed away. Arlie is in Florida. They are actually having their memorial service today, in about an hour. And there will be a graveside interment, but it's really just going to be the family. But Arlie will be back in town tomorrow, I believe. No? No? Okay. So also today we have our Minute for Mission. I would like to introduce Christine Petrega. She is the CEO and director of Hearth, which is doing amazing things. I had the opportunity to take a little tour of Hearth the other week, and I'm going to let her tell you more about what they do.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us. My name is Christy, as Reverend Christian said, and my husband Brad and our little son Levi are here this morning. Thank you so much for having us. We have another one on the way due next month, so we'll be a family of four here soon. And my name is Christy. I'm the CEO of Hearth, North Hills Affordable Housing. You might have known, if you've been in this area for a long time, you might have known it as the Zord Home. We've been there for about 12 years off Mount Royal. And at Hearth, we serve moms and kids who've experienced homelessness and domestic violence in our region. We provide them with on-site housing, gave Reverend Kristen a tour of apartments that we have on site, and we can serve up to 16 women and or 16 families for up to 2 years. And so it really is a really wonderful time of growth, healing from traumatic events that these moms and kiddos have experienced in their lives. And it's really close. We're just up the street. We're just 5-10 minutes up the street. One of the areas of Hearth that we are looking to partner with local communities is the areas of volunteer. One area that we are in need of is on Monday nights, we provide a program for the moms. It might be group therapy, parent chat. We just had PNC come on site to talk about financials and savings. And then we also provide childcare for the kids that are on site during that time. But we always love to serve a meal. And so the moms don't have to worry about that meal for Monday nights. If any of you are interested in partnering with us in serving a meal, it can be as simple as 2 delivery large pizzas, tacos, spaghetti, whatever's most convenient, or if there are other ways you'd like to get involved by donations, financial giving, any of those things, I will put these cards in the back. This is all about Hearth and our services that we provide our moms, and also my business card. You can reach out to me anytime. We really appreciate your prayers as we continue to serve moms and kiddos in need of healing, and thank you again so much for having us this morning.
Thank you so much, Christy. Like I said, I had a chance to go visit the campus, and it's amazing. I was looking through some of the services that they offer for the women and their kiddos, and I was like, I would like someone to look over my budget every month. I could use that. it's just clean, spacious, and it's something that really helps folks longer term. Most services provide a space that families can be in for a month or 2 months, and Hearth really makes sure that these families can actually get on their feet and make some really great habits and start to feel safe. So with that, why don't we place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings and show our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. The glory of God shines like a consuming fire. We have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The voice of God thunders like a mighty storm. Out of the cloud, God speaks, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
The light of your love is shining in the midst of the dark.
hear this great news of joy for all. When Jesus was baptized, God's voice came down from heaven proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin together. God of all glory, beauty, and grace, we have tried to hide from you, to hide our faces, to hide our sin, yet you have never hidden your love for us. We have tried to search for you in temples, in clouds, on mountaintops, yet you have already revealed yourself to us in the face of Jesus Christ. Forgive us and transform us so that our lives may shine with your glory, beauty, and grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our God comes and does not keep silence. God speaks to us with grace and love, saying, "You are my beloved child." This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Oh. We don't need that, right? No, you know what happened? Because I was going to have us do the Apostles' Creed during the ordination and installation. So that's my bad. Let's join together and proclaim our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from dead. He ascended into heaven and seateth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay, now, siblings, you may greet one another with signs of peace.
Can't do that too often.
Yeah, right. Please be seated for our choir's anthem. Perfect. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Creator God, you are beyond our knowledge and understanding, and we are full of wonder at your presence and your revelation in your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Your love for us is awe-inspiring. We put our faith in this love and as we come to you today to express our communal prayers for the world, knowing that you hear us and that the mystery of your love and power and presence may extend to those people and places for which we pray. God of all peoples, we pray for the world. Please be at work in places that are full of violence and suffering. We pray for the people of Israel and Palestine, Ukraine, Iran, Ecuador. Please show us the path to peace. Put the right people in the right places to make the decisions, not for themselves, but for others. We also pray for our own country, God, as we enter a presidential election year that will be full of hateful rhetoric and division. Please empower us, your people, to be bearers of love. Help us balance your desire for justice and equality with your call to care for neighbor. May our churches be spaces of welcome where we can have faithful conversations that develop and deepens all of our understanding. Almighty One, your word tells us time and again how you care for the poor, the abused, the cast out, and we pray for all of those people now. We pray for those who are houseless. We pray for those who are poor and struggling to make ends meet. We pray for new immigrants to this country seeking asylum. We pray for the cold and the hungry, the lonely, the sick, the grieving. If we are to play a role in providing these needs, spark our hearts towards action. Lastly, God, we lift up Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church in our community. We especially pray for Arlie and her family following the passing of her sister Lori, the family and friends of Bev Ruby as they grieve her loss, Sue Galley's daughter and granddaughter, Melissa and Madeline, as they navigate the difficulties of teenage years. We pray for Tweety, who is still in the ICU following bowel obstruction surgery. We pray for Nathaniel Enrieto, who was in a car accident earlier this week. He's doing well, but it was a scary situation. We also say, lift up prayers of thanksgiving. Faye and Mark Harris want to thank everyone for their prayers and cards. It was really appreciated and helpful. God, we know that you see us and hear us, and so it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, We Have Come at Christ's Own Bidding. Please be seated. Mickey, I have no idea how you do that. That was absolutely, those words were absolutely perfect. We have some sort of mind thing going on. She is that good. God has gifted us with free will that we might choose to worship the Almighty in our words, actions, and thoughts. Let us make the choice now to honor the word of God by bringing forward our tithes and offerings, trusting that our money, joyfully given, will be a blessing to God and to neighbors. Almighty God, on the mountaintop, you instructed Peter, James, and John, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." We are listening, God, and we hear your call to make the world a better place alongside your Holy Spirit. We offer you these gifts and our hearts alongside them. May they be blessed to do your bidding. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with him anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Our God is the God who appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai and revealed God's self to Elijah in the sound of sheer silence. This is the same God in our midst today. This is the same God who seeks us, who created us, who loves us. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts and minds that we might hear your message for us today. Amen. I don't know what it is about mountains, but every time I encounter some, I'm in awe. And maybe it's because I grew up in a place that didn't have any mountains. Sure, we had a lake. I mean, I guess it's a big lake. You could even call it a great lake. And that was cool and all. You couldn't see it all the time. The first time I encountered a real mountain was as a leader on a youth mission trip to Pikes Peak, Colorado. And we slept in a high school gymnasium. Don't be jealous. We had our meals in the high school cafeteria. And this cafeteria, I don't know, my high school was nothing like this. This cafeteria was huge, and it had these, one whole wall was just ceiling to floor windows, and it was looking out on the Rockies. And I remember getting breakfast that first morning and sitting in the cafeteria, and I could barely eat because I was just slack-jawed by looking at these mountains. So when I was moving to Albuquerque, one of the things that I was really looking forward to were the mountains. They're nothing like the Rockies. There's this one mountain range to the east of the city called the Sandias, and they're nowhere, like I said, nowhere near as big and towering. They're also much younger than the Rockies. But it was certainly a far cry from the rolling flatness of Rockford, Illinois. Now, they're named the Sandias because the light from the setting sun in the west hits the mountain in just such a way that it makes the pink granite glow. And it looks like a watermelon. And in Spanish, Sandia means watermelon. They're the watermelon mountains. And the first time that I saw the mountain at sunset, it took my breath away. I remember distinctly the awe that I felt at the majesty of this massive mountain and the bright colors shining against the dusty landscape and the vast sky. And I remember thinking, worrying that over time I would grow accustomed to this mountain and that I might start taking it for granted, that I might just come to see it as a big rock in the middle of my way. And I wondered how I could keep that same feeling of amazement and wonder as the first time that the beauty of this mountain made me well up with tears. And so that's kind of what I thought about when I read today's scripture. We're talking about the transfiguration of our Lord. And right before this passage, Jesus was preaching and teaching stuff along the shores of Galilee. Think like Sermon on the Mount type stuff. He's also been healing people. And what Jesus is doing is grabbing people's attention. They see God in Jesus' actions. But they're still not entirely sure who he is or how he's able to do the things that he's doing. Some of the religious leaders are like, pushing back on him. Jesus is offering a message that's more open than the one that they've been giving. And Jesus at that time also asked the disciples who they say he is. And after they rightly claim Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus tells them that he must undergo suffering, rejection, death. Peter's not a fan. So today we find Jesus, Peter, and James, and John. They're going on a little hike. They stop for a little snack partway up the mountain. John brought the real good trail mix, the one with M&Ms in it. And then seemingly out of nowhere, Moses and Elijah are there. And Jesus' costume has changed. His clothes are suddenly almost blindingly white. There's a beam of light shining down upon him. This isn't some sleight of hand costume change or someone shining a spotlight down. Jesus is transfigured in that moment. He's metamorphosized. He's in these dazzling white clothes, but that's not the real thing that's different about him. Jesus is a whole new being. What are Peter, James, and John supposed to do with this experience? Their jaws are on the ground. Their eyes are like saucers. They are overwhelmed with awe. Almost, they're terrified even. Peter gets real uncomfortable with the silence, and he feels like there has to be something that he should say or do for this momentous occasion, and he just blurts out, "This is amazing! Let's build some tents!" Now, Peter gets a lot of flack for his offer to build tents for Jesus. Peter gets a lot of flack for a lot of things that Peter does. I identify with Peter very much so, because I'm constantly doing really dumb things. But Peter wants to build a tent for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And some say that Peter was trying to make this place a pilgrimage site or a theme park, maybe even charge visitors a few shekels as they pay homage to this very special site. But I think I understand what Peter was doing here. Something almost magical is happening in this place. He is filled with all of the emotions. Amazement, fear, surprise, wonder, terror, joy, all of these things, all at the same time. The picture I have here is a picture from the top of the Sandia Mountains. There was at one point when I was living in Albuquerque that I started hiking. And at first it was just the foothills. I just wanted to be really, really close to this towering mass that just brought me so many emotions. Even when I was on a trail that I had been on 100 times, there was always something new to look at. There was always something new to experience. One day I took the plunge and I decided I was going to hike up the La Luz Trail. So this is a very challenging hike. Some people are incredibly insane and they run up this 11-kilometer hill mountain. It's a challenging hike. It's really important to be very well prepared. You've got approximately 5 miles of switchbacks going back and forth up the mountains to the peak. There's, in the first half at any rate, there's very little shade. It's really important to leave early in the morning. You have to make sure that you have enough water, sunscreen, snacks. And I swear that the closer you get to the top, the steeper it gets. And there were many times during that hike that I questioned my sanity. When I got to the top of the ridge, though, that view was gorgeous. I felt all of the emotions. I had pride in having made it, exhaustion, amazement, fear, wonder, surprise, terror, joy. All of those things at the same time, and I wanted to revel in the silence and the glory, but I also felt the need to say or do something to commemorate that moment. And at the time, I couldn't imagine going back to my regular life after that. Not after interacting so personally with this beloved mountain in a whole new way. Not after recognizing the majesty of God in my encounter with this mountain. Not after gaining a whole new perspective. I really wanted to capture that moment and take it with me everywhere. Let's build some tents! I imagine Peter was pretty stressed before taking this little hiking trip. He's been all over the place, with his pal, the Messiah. And everywhere they go, somebody's hassling them. And then they're on this beautiful, peaceful, blissful, albeit kind of scary moment on the mountain. Of course, Peter wants to remember this place. It's where he met God. And it's really hard to leave the mountaintop. Yet, God instructs Peter and us to listen to Christ. It was only a chapter earlier that Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." We're supposed to go out into the world after those mountaintop experiences. Those mountaintop experiences can't last forever. Now, your mountaintop experience may not be quite as on the nose and literal as my mountaintop moment. But I know that you've all been confronted with the vastness and the vision of God at some point. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't. Maybe it was the birth of your child, or the first time you held your grandchild, or while gazing into a campfire, when you finally understood that complex mathematical formula, the first time you read that poem. Not all revelations are witnessing Jesus transfigure into splendor with dazzling white clothes right in front of you. Rather, God's gifts are offered to us everywhere. God's gifts are unpredictable and abundant. And when we receive God's gifts, we can't help but to want to build a tent and to hold them all for ourselves. But God's gifts aren't for individuals. Rather, we are invited to return back to our lives, to come back down to the mountain and share what we've experienced and learned with everyone else in our communities. And thankfully, we have two members of our congregation today who have come down from the mountain and are ready to share their gifts of service with us. Thanks be to God. So that brings us to the ordination and installation of officers. Let me say these words from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that it is accomplished. To each is given a gift of the Spirit to be used for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ, and individually, we are members of it. The statement on ordination from the Presbyterian Church of the USA: we are all called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. It is our common calling to be disciples of Jesus Christ and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons, ruling elders, and as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry continues among us. Through ordination, God provides acts of care and compassion for the world, for the ordering and governance of the church, and for the preaching of the word and celebration of the sacraments. Cliff? It's the highlighted.
Representing one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of Glenshaw Valley Church now ordains Kimberly Norris to ministry as deacon, and ordains Stephen Hurst to the ministry as ruling elders, and installs them to active service in this congregation. Please come forward. Did that figure it out?
Yes. If only I had something on my shirt that I could clip it to. And that's what you need.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Clerk Session. So as God calls for particular forms of ministry, God calls us to bear gladly the yoke of Christ given in the covenant of baptism. Let us therefore reaffirm our baptismal vows, renouncing all that opposes God and God's rule, and affirming the faith of the Holy Catholic Church. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, say I do.
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, say I will with God's help.
I will with God's help.
Steve and Kimberly, in baptism, you were claimed by the love of God, clothed in the grace of Jesus Christ, and anointed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to share Christ's mission in the world. Now, you are called by God through the voice of this church for new service and ministry in Jesus' name. In accordance with the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church, USA, show your commitment to this calling by responding to these questions. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all, head of church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say I do.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? If so, say I do.
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? If so, say I do and I will.
I do and I will.
That was a hard question. I was a little worried that maybe you might not be able, but yeah.
Can you name the confessions?
Yeah, but can you name the confessions? Right. Will
you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? If so, say, I will.
Yeah.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry and working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? If so, say, I will.
Amen.
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? If so, say, I will.
Amen.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? If so, say, I will, or I do.
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people? This is my favorite. Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? If so, say, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will. Steve, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Congregation of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, do we accept Stephen and Kimberly as ruling elder and deacon, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
That seemed unanimous. Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Again, yeah, I mean, I think you've passed the tests. So I would like to, at this time, ask those who have previously been ordained as ruling elders to come forward, or if you're unable to come forward, to put your hands out. We are going to lay hands on these folks while we pray for them. You can literally lay hands on them in appropriate places. Gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you thanks and praise. Throughout the ages and in every place, you have chosen servants from among your people to point the way to salvation by your grace. We are grateful for the ancestors in faith who followed without fear, placing their trust in you alone, for judges and monarchs who ruled in your righteousness and peace, for prophets and apostles who spoke your bold words of mercy and truth, for leaders and teachers in every age who have nurtured your people in faith and faithfulness. Above all, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came not to be served but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Anointed by your Holy Spirit, he proclaimed your reign on earth, revealing your saving love in all he said and did. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon your servants, Kimberly and Steve, whom you called by baptism as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Jesus Christ. Give them a spirit of truthfulness, that they may show compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we may be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain your church and ministry, ground us in the gospel, secure our hope in Christ, strengthen our service to the outcast, and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be effective servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Steve? Kimberly? You are ruling elder and deacon in the Church of Jesus Christ for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us welcome the newly ordained installing ruling elder Steve Hurst and Deacon Brooke Norris. That's all I need from you. You can continue.
That was handy. I kind of like having a mic follow me around. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. Before we go back into the world, except for the ruling elders who are staying for another 8 hours for a session meeting. I'm kidding, it won't be 8 hours. Let me offer you a blessing and a charge. May our eyes be open to the ways the Almighty reveals the divine. It may not be as grand as the Transfiguration, but it is there. In the whiteness of the snow, in the love of animals, in the joy of a good meal, in the beating of our hearts, take time to drink in the wonders of this life, and then go out to share it with others. The very face of God shines upon you with beauty, blessing, and peace. Alleluia.